All right, we're back now. My great pleasure to be talking with Max Warnock. Now, he is a junior over at Manchester Essex High School, and he's got some good news for us to pass along. But first, let's say hello to Max. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. All right, that sounds good. Right to the point. So Max, first of all, before we talk about the idea that you're working on, tell me a little bit about how things are going right now at home. I mean, this has got to be weird being out of school. So what are you doing?
There are online classes to go over what we've done so far and some intro into new stuff, but overall it's just working mostly on Google Classroom on just reviewing what we've done so far.
Are these with all the teachers that you've had up to this point?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we'll get back to that. I want to talk a little bit about your school year, obviously, and this is just so weird, but talking with Manchester by the Sea Police Chief Todd Fitzgerald, he was mentioning how people have come out of the woodwork and they've come out in many different places to help out in Manchester by the Sea. And he mentioned your name, and I was astounded to learn what you're doing. So maybe you could pass along what your idea was and what it is you're doing.
Yeah, so it wasn't my idea. I've been working with my dad and his colleagues, and there are many 3D printing groups that are doing this, but we are basically 3D printing the connection for a face shield and then using hair elastics and transparency film, we're making face shields out of them. So, like, right now I have my 3D printer printing two every 3 hours, and so those get produced. I fit them all together, and I'm delivering them to first responders and hospitals in the area.
That's amazing. Now, how long have you been doing this?
About 2 weeks at this point.
And the pattern that you use, or you explain that to me. How does that work logistically? I have no idea. I don't even know what the hell a 3D printer looks like.
So basically, how this has worked is using CAD, computer aided design, people produced with my father. They made, many people have made different ones, but basically they sketched up a design for the face shield itself, which allows it to be put in terms of a printer, and then that 3D printer basically takes spools of just plastic that's just a long line of it and feeds it through and can build layer by layer pieces together. So those basically all around, there are people like Dave Kempsky at AET Labs, who sells printers to educational facilities, has also been printing, and it's basically just getting a bunch printed and trying to get them out as fast as possible.
So do you assemble the entire face shield so that it's ready to use?
Yeah, then we give them to wherever they are, and normally they decontaminate them before use, and it depends on how many they have, but it might be a one-time use thing, or they can re-sterilize them if they're that low on face shield.
That's incredible. That's incredible. All right, so now how do you get them from the assembly line to the different first responders? How is the delivery made?
So delivery, overall, what happens is once we get them off the printer, we quickly assemble them up, and then I bring them in bags to either the hospitals or the first responders and leave them separate from them while being masked so I don't infect anyone if I was ever sick, which I'm not, or I hope not, but try keeping separate, drop them off, and then from there they sterilize them and put them into use.
How many of you are working on these masks?
Around here, I know at least two or three people making them, but it just depends. Some people are making more than others, but I know at least like three people around here making them, but it's happening all over the U.S.
Yeah. Are you, does this take up a good portion of your day?
Yeah, I would say it's at least an hour each day just keeping stuff running, getting it out and communicating with different places, but it's definitely worth it. It's good to help out.
So when you're in school, I don't know, at the beginning of your freshman year, is this something you envision doing?
I had thought a little bit about, I've used stuff like this before, and I never envisioned that a virus would hit us like this, but I knew I liked working with this stuff, and it's definitely a good experience to be able to do this and have it help people.
Well, you know, your junior year is such an important year in terms of, look, if you're going on to college or want to go on to college, it's a gigantic year. And I know that this has set your plans back, I'm sure, a little bit onto the sideline. Have you visited schools yet?
Yes, I visited some, and it's interesting because part of it is I'm not the only one that this is happening to. It's happening to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So SATs and standardized testing, I know some schools are just saying, you know what, we're just not going to, or we're going to make it optional. And so far, SATs are being shut down, and it's kind of a real question of if they're even going to happen. A question of right now, we're out till May 4th, but it's a question of if we're going to go back at all this year.
Right. And you know, for your junior year, your GPA is so important, and it's going to probably end up being wherever it was when you guys left, and that'll be it. But, of course, that remains to be seen. What schools have you looked at?
Looked at Clarkson University, UMass, both UMasses, looking around some schools around here, UNH, URI, just still trying to figure out and see what I can do.
Mm-hmm. And are you thinking of engineering?
Yeah.
What kind?
Mechanical and maybe a minor in biomedical.
All right. Well, my daughter's a biomedical engineering major down at Drexel. She just finished her third year. And it's great to aspire to, especially you're getting the experience here on a world, you know, historical event. So it bodes well for your future. You know, and finally, Max, in terms of what are you guys about now?
It's an interesting time with all this, and it's trying to, the hard thing is you can't see anyone, but it's still talking, keeping connections and seeing where everyone is and what people are doing. And so it's just kind of catching up, kind of staying positive and seeing that everyone's doing all right.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you're really enjoying with this break? Because I know after a while, you know, you have a little bit of a break, but if you can't go to work, you can't get outside, then you're itching to get back to it. But anything in particular that you're really enjoying? Well, I'm gathering you're getting a great satisfaction of doing what you're doing with the masks.
Yeah. I've been just kind of teaching myself different things, and it's been giving me an opportunity to do and learn different things than I normally would in school. So it's just kind of a nice break. It's definitely getting old in some ways, and I wish it wasn't happening, but it's just kind of making the best of it.
I hear you. All right, Max, if you could hold on as I wrap this thing up, I appreciate it. That is Max Warnock, who was finishing his junior year at Manchester Essex High School. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. All right, now we're talking with Max's dad, Ken Warnock. And first of all, Ken, you've got to be very proud of what how your son is involved with all this.
I am. I'm proud of all the. I'm probably proud of him and everybody else that's really been working on this. It's great to see people having a way to respond to the virus crisis.
We talk to kids on the Moynihan Student Lumber Athletes of the Month all the time, and I always remark that, man, I know we're in good hands with these kids because they're so articulate and they're so empathetic and understanding and intelligent. And I get the same thing when I talk to Max. The first thing he did, Ken, was to talk about other people, not himself. So that's very impressive.
Thank you. It's good to hear. If anything, and I'm glad to hear you mentioning the student athletes. I'm on the local school board, the regional school board here, and this crisis has made me realize how absolutely important it is that our kids are prepared, because they're going to be the citizens in the future that'll hopefully help us avoid these sorts of things. So, yeah, it's awesome to see the kids starting this, because that's going to keep us going for a long time.
Well, again, you know, Chief Fitzgerald mentioned, you know, how these masks are being made and delivered, and he mentioned Max's name and producing these things. And tell me a little bit about the genesis of how this thing got started, and maybe how you've helped him out.
It really began about on, I think, March 19th or 20th. There was really people began to realize that there wasn't adequate personal protective equipment for healthcare workers and first responders. And somewhere around the 21st, 22nd, there were other people I work with in Medtronic that were working with 3D printer manufacturers that said, hey, there's a need for face shields. And that weekend, we kind of started doing that, and I spoke with friends and colleagues and relatives that were in the healthcare field, and they were describing the shortages and how they were reusing masks. So we saw that there was a need, and really over that course of that weekend figured, hey, we got to be part of getting this ramped up and getting this out there so we can protect the people on the front lines.
How did you deal with the fire department or the police department in terms of letting them know that you were making something legitimate and something that is safe?
It's a really good question. I got to give a shout out right now to, there's a group in Massachusetts that's part of Mass Tech State Agency, and they've got a group stood up called the Manufacturing Emergency Response Team that's really working on this issue around ventilators, face masks, and everything across Massachusetts and tied in with across the nation. We initially wanted to get the face shields out and make sure that they would work. So we talked with Max and myself and some of my colleagues. We talked with physicians we knew about face shields we had experienced in dental labs or, you know, getting your teeth cleaned or during surgeries, and said, hey, the face shields are kind of the least, not even almost a medical device, but they provide some protection. So we felt safe starting there.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of distributing them to the local department, did you just call the department and say, here we are, or did you go to MERS?
Max actually just reached out. At the time, there really wasn't any of the getusppe.org or any of those systems set up, so we had been sending them into some to Cambridge Health Alliance, Leahy Beverly, with physician and nurse friends that we knew, and Max knew that we had had some cases and a lot of exposure locally, so he just... We had one day where he had 15 made late at night and said, let me reach out and see if the local police and fire need them.
That's incredible. And what kind of an engineer are you?
Mechanical engineer, and work on, mostly making catheters and leads during the day, but really trying to advance technology and medical devices.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I was just telling Max, my daughter is a biomedical engineering major down at Drexel, and she's working with her co-op right now on this stuff, and it's just, these kids are in on the ground floor and something that I think is momentous and just gigantic. Ken, as a school committee member, how do you see this playing out in Manchester by the Sea? I just talked with the Masconomet superintendent of schools, and of course this really it changes day by day, hour by hour, and everything sort of is in flux right now. I'm guessing it's the same way in Manchester?
It is very similar. There's a lot in flux. We've talked a lot about really making sure over the past few years, I've only been on the committee for 4 years, about making sure we're focusing not only on academics, but on the kind of social, emotional well-being and tools for our kids and everybody. And that effort has helped people transition and be adaptable as so much as trying to shift to remote learning and staying connected even as we're staying apart. So it's going, and I... really looking at the young kids and at the teachers, it's inspirational to see the stories of how people are shifting and staying positive. If anything, we're going to come out of this stronger.
Yeah, it's going to be there's going to be a whole new book written, I think, on the social emotional experience of kids after this episode. How's the remote meetings going?
In all fronts, it's a challenge with bandwidth, and I'm actually amazed that all the networks are staying up and running. And people are getting their feet underneath them. There's some good ones, some bad ones, but I got to say, overall, when I think about what's gone on in the past less than a month, it's pretty incredible that we've pivoted this quickly across the U.S. and across the Commonwealth in terms of remote learning.
Yeah, we can adapt. All right. Anything else there, Ken? Don't hang up when we're finished with this, but anything else you want to mention?
No, I really appreciate getting, if anything, this has driven home to me the value of having local news and local connections, and I'm really glad we're getting this out and keeping the good news out. We're going to get through this, and it's going to bring a lot of changes and grief and healing that we're going to need to do, but we're going to get through this.
Well, that's the name of our live program is Connections, and yeah, we are going to get through it because of people like you and your kid, there's no question. That is Ken Warnock, who is a member of the Manchester-by-the-Sea School, Manchester Essex School School Committee, and this is MSO Nortz.